The Old Testament reading for Sexagesima is from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let your enemies know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth.
The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapters 11 and 12. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, and hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. And, apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is made to fall? Am I not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O God, you have rejected us, broken our defenses. You have been angry, O restore us. That your beloved ones may be delivered. Give salvation by your right hand and answer us.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. When a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As Jesus said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You may be seated. Last week you heard about how salvation is by God's grace alone. We heard that in the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Today, the focus is on the work, how God works through the scriptures, his word alone. That's the beauty of this pre-Lent season. We have grace alone last week, scripture alone this week, and next week we hear faith alone. So last week, all the laborers received their wage, the same wage, because the focus was on the gracious, merciful goodness of the master of the vineyard. Today It's on the sower of the seed and what the seed produces. Now, it's easy for us to say what God's word does and what it does, what it sends, he sends it to do, and it's another thing to believe it. Perfect example of this is seen in the gospel reading today, the parable of the sower. So God teaches you how God works, and you see yourselves in all these soils, which God admonishes you in the danger as you live in this world, and the devil, the world, and your own fallen flesh, they seek to tear you away from God's word, from your lives in some way, shape, or form. So he calls you to hear. He calls you to repent, to turn back to the sower and his seed, as you look forward to that final day when you see that fruit which has been born in patience because of Christ. And so our Lord Jesus said, when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So for us hearing this, when it comes then to God's word, you're following right along with Jesus in this reading, and you think to yourselves, yes, Lord, your word goes out. It does what it is set to do. It works. I even heard that a few minutes ago in the Old Testament reading. It's true. It does. But the thing about your life is rather than letting this be the case and trusting solely and completely that God's word is sufficient, the temptation is to lose sight of it, neglecting it, or even in the church as a whole, to focus on the fruits as your way of seeing what works and what doesn't, or letting the fruits define people. So listen again to that explanation that our Lord gives us for this parable today. He goes on, and when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones of the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Now, Jesus tells the disciples something very important. He tells them that they have been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. Or perhaps a better translation can be the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But you see, you too have been given to know these things, these same things. So as you examine your life in accord with this parable and teaching of Jesus, where does the fault line lie? When you hear this, where is the fault in all of this? Does it ever at any time lie with the seed, with God's word? No. Where does it lie? And the soil and the dangers which exist in and around the soil. The temptation is to switch the blame onto the word. But really, let's be honest, that's doubting God's word. It comes into play then when you want to try to reconcile or rationalize the soil and put the blame back onto the seed. You don't want to face the fact that you are the problem and not God. In the church, though, you know you have to be careful how you talk, because you know better. You're good Lutherans, right? The word of God must fit into this equation somewhere as we look at who we are. So you see, this is where you try to maybe subtly add things to God's word that sound good, but really are ways in your mind you think you can shift the blame onto something or someone else. Why is that? Well, this parable is very well known. We all know it very well. We hear it every year. But the thing about this parable, and all of God's word for that matter, is it hits pretty close to home on many levels. It's a part of man's sinful nature to want to try and shift the blame off of himself and onto God or onto someone else. You listen to what God says this all means, and it hits you, though, because it starts to describe the life of many loved ones, many friends, or maybe your own life, not this instant, but at some point, or perhaps on the path you're headed down on this very instant. Really, Jesus describes all of you as you look at all of these soils. How can you see this and examine your life? Well, look around and look at yourself and ask questions in accord with what Jesus is teaching you and revealing to you in the text. Do you have cares in this life? Are the devil and his minions around trying to choke out your faith in Christ? Are you tempted to ignore God's word and get caught up in what's going on around you, whatever that may be? Is the world defining how you live your life, not God's word, the lamp that lightens the path on which you walk? As one who is a regular hearer of the word, are you tempted to grow complacent, to grow apathetic, and view your Christian faith in light of or defined by man-made fruits, rather than word, the word of God, such as maybe an experience it creates in your life that maybe wants to see and try to redefine and reshift of how it makes you feel, or what you think it should make you feel, rather than looking to God's word regardless of what you may think or may like and get the response that you may be wanting in a momentary instant. Or we can look at this and expand it out, even for all of us as the body of Christ, to the church as a whole. Does the church measure its faithfulness according to its numbers, according to its preferences, according to other factors, or does it examine itself according to God's word if it's being preached and taught faithfully? So starting to see the problem and where it lies. Now, that epistle reading today gives an example of a congregation that was duped into thinking they needed something more than the Word of God, that the Scriptures were not sufficient. So-called super apostles, or hyper apostles is another way you could translate that, came into their midst, and they boasted in their special gifts, their special skill set, their next level of spirituality, which could provide something new and uplifting that those ordinary apostles like St. Paul, as if he's ordinary, couldn't give them. But Paul had told the Corinthians that he had come among them desiring to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. So he had rebuked them for wanting to all speak in tongues. He reprimanded them for having a worship service that was chaotic and irreverent. He called them to live a life that repented of sin and called them to love one another. We hear all of that in 1 Corinthians. The Corinthians, though, thought they needed something more, or at least they thought that. So when someone new offering something new and exciting came along, they had itching ears. And you know what? They took the bait. They started listening to the super apostles, who weren't about all those boring things or too serious things which made them think, which called them to repentance and called them to a holy life like St. Paul preached. So what did St. Paul then say to them in the epistle reading? Well, now in 2 Corinthians, we hear this. St. Paul writes, "For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you or devours you or takes advantage of you or puts on airs or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that." Now, if you can't tell, this is ripe with sarcasm here in the text. The Holy Spirit knows how to be harsh, because the people needed it. They needed to be brought back to see who the sower is and what the seed is and what the seed does. We need it too when we lose sight of God's word, because it takes our eyes off Christ and his work and puts the Christian faith into our lap and us into the driver's seat. We're tempted to want the sower to spice things up like these super apostles rather than seed being scattered faithfully. Fully. So let's go back then to the gospel reading and what the Lord says. Jesus called out to the people, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Perhaps a better translation of this could be, let him keep on hearing. So Jesus calls you to hear his word. He calls you to listen to him. So don't fall into the dangers of the various soil in this parable and the things which took them away from the seed, which took them away from the word. Likewise, and this is especially for the people in the church, don't forget how God operates. It's through his word. But you see, here's the thing in all of this. It's rather dull. It's rather weak how God works. But what does God teach you? Well, God's power is made perfect in weakness. And that's so wonderfully simple, like this. And your faith is to desire to be in this word. And you see, in this you delight and rejoice in what the world calls foolishness. Because you know something that God has revealed to you. Salvation is found here in these means. There's great fruit seen in the gospel reading when Luke recorded for us, and when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, because you see, disciples are students who desire to learn. They wanted to hear Jesus. They had ears to hear and wanted to keep on hearing. Their faith is a faith that seeks understanding and wants to be taught. They're good Lutherans. They ask, what does this mean? So if you aren't desiring to be hearing the word, if you don't want to be taught, if you don't want to live out what your Lord teaches you, repent. God calls you to be like the disciples who asked Jesus what this parable meant. Imitate them in their faith here in this reading. And look also at St. Paul, who was given a thorn in the flesh and prayed to God 3 times for it to be taken away. But God answered him with a no. So God, in a sense, told Paul, who wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, God, in a sense, told him, Paul, you're good. I'm not going to take this thorn away from you. It's good for you. It keeps you humble. It teaches you to not trust in those experiences, those visions that you were given, and it shows that my grace is sufficient for you. Be faithful to that word. Preach as you have been called to do. So all of this today is about God's word for you. And this is your life. The devil, the world, and your fallen flesh are all real threats. Take them seriously. But Jesus has revealed to you the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That has been given to you. And he shows and gives all that you have in Christ. So when you are tempted to think you need something else, or when you are tempted to base your faith or things apart from God's word, when you are tempted to trust in all of these things around you, when you are tempted to stop hearing this word, and you're tempted to not look to God, God calls you to hear him, to listen as he says, no, you have everything you need right here. Don't get duped by those who will try to get you to live out your Christian life in ways which center on yourself and your response, which desire for you to cling to your sin rather than the new life and the forgiveness that you have in Christ. No, God says, let he who has ears to hear keep on hearing. And when you are tempted to be apathetic and humdrum of the daily life or sitting here on a Sunday morning, God calls you to realize what's happening as his word goes forth and accomplishes the purposes for which he sends it, as he says in the Old Testament reading, teaches you. One of those things that is an ancient way of talking about the apathy or things like that, as we talk about a vice, asceticism. Sometimes it gets translated as sloth, and it's not the fuzzy animal that goes really slowly, but this apathy or indifference towards the things of God. Do you know what is the opposite of that? It's hearing God's word. It's being here in the divine service. It's being at rest and finding your solace in the one who preaches to you. And there's also another word as you hear and listen and contemplate these things. Leisure. That's what you have here right now. God calls you to this place to be taught, to hear, to live your lives daily as disciples, students of the word. I remember hearing a couple of years ago a presentation where someone asked the question to the director of worship for our synod about worship. The woman asked, in a sense, is the worship service to teach us or for us simply to participate in? And he answered her by saying, yes. Not to be snarky, but because those things go hand in hand. So you receive God's gifts in the divine service in this place. You don't ascend to God, rather everything is here about God coming to you in his word and in his sacraments. Your Lord is here, and his seed is being scattered. And in all of this, too, you learn. Your disciples, you listen and seek to understand more and more what Jesus has given to you and what this salvation in Christ all entails now. You learn from his teaching of what your new life in Christ is to look like, what this means for your daily life in the church and in the family and in the world around you. All of this is as you look forward to that final day when you will see him face to face. So you're here, and even on days like this where the weather is crummy, it's rainy, it's cloudy, but you rejoice. The kingdom of God is yours. Your sin is forgiven, you are baptized into Christ, and God's word is given to you. So find rest and consolation in Jesus, the sower of the seed. Know that you have all of what he says you have. So fear not the devil and his ways. Don't despair as the cares of this life try to take your eyes off of Christ and choke that word away from you. Don't worry when the church seems to be weak and small. God's power is made perfect in weakness, and his grace is sufficient for you. And he actually means that when he says it. And what is this weakness and grace for you? Well, your Lord Jesus has lived that perfect life. He's died for your sin. In the weakness of the cross, dying, God's dying, you have forgiveness, life, and salvation. For that you boast in the weakness of Jesus crucified for you, and you see you have absolutely everything. You rejoice in God's word given to you in your life and want to hear it more and more. You delight and hold fast to this word, and as Jesus says in John 15, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And you see, as God's people, God's word will produce fruit 100-fold in your life. And your life will show this as a fruit of your God-given faith. It will sprout. It will give forth beautiful, luscious fruit according to God's word as you live in faith and love toward your neighbor. Because yes, God's word does wondrous things. Dear people of God, find confidence each and every day. You are his people. You are hearers of the word of God. You are baptized into Christ. So listen and pray to God, knowing he hears and answers your prayers, all according to his good and gracious will in Christ. Even if the answer is no, three times like St. Paul, you still rest easy in God's grace, which has been showered upon you and unto eternal life. That's what you have been baptized into, as God has claimed you as his own. That's the feast that you have at his supper here now, as he gives you his own body and blood, and you look forward to that eternal feast to come. You are his own child. He is your God. His purposes are accomplished this very instant as you hear him speak through his servant, and you know exactly what his will is and what is happening. Your sin is forgiven. You have eternal life. That's the seed that produces a fruit 100-fold, that keeps itself rooted in the seed scattered by the reckless love of the sower. So what a joy to be that soil. He who has ears to hear, let him keep on hearing. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.